This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. When we think of Latin American migration, we think of refugees trekking northward toward the U.S. border. But there is also heavy traffic in the other direction, buffeted by economic collapse, crime, political repression, and even starvation. An estimated 2.3 million Venezuelans have fled to Colombia, Peru, Ecuador, Brazil, Chile, and elsewhere. This week, for the first time, the United Nations included the Venezuelan crisis in its global humanitarian appeal, seeking aid for Latin American countries who have taken in Venezuelans. Indeed, as NPR's Spanish-language podcast Radio Ambulante reported this week, some nations are straining under the burden and are growing uneasy with the newcomers. Lima-based journalist Diego Salazar, who reported the piece with his wife, reporter Lizzie Cantu, says Peru had never been home to a lot of outsiders.
Let me give you this number in order for, you know, your audience to understand. Until 2016, all the foreigners in Peru were around 100,000. People from every country. Actually, there were more Americans than Venezuelans in Peru back in those days. Now we have 600,000 Venezuelans. So we have more than six times the amount of foreigners in the country.
And at first, Peru rose to the occasion.
The previous government, whose president, Pedro Pablo Kuczynski, said, please, Venezuelans, come to our country.
Venezolanos, bienvenidos al Perú.
We're going to pay you fair salaries. We are happy to have you here.
Los sueldos de ley.
And a new permit, which was called the Temporary Residence Permit, PTP, allowed Venezuelans to spend a year in the country. They were allowed to work with that ID while they were trying to change their migration situation to a regular migrant worker. And actually, when the government approved the PTP, almost 60% of Peruvians agree with it.
You have someone in your story talking about how beautiful the reception was from the people in the streets in Lima. Hugs.
Yeah. We interviewed this young Venezuelan named Ana Mer, who is a journalist. She arrived to Lima in October 2017. And at first, they were completely surprised about how welcoming people were, about how everybody in the streets recognized their accent and asked, oh, you are Venezuelans.
Tú eres venezolano. Ay, pobrecito.
We're so glad you are here. Please, welcome to our country.
These were fellow Latin Americans in extremis, and Peru was going to offer them as much opportunity as it could.
I think there were three main reasons. The first one was because Venezuelans received Peruvians back in the 70s and 80s and early 90s, where Peru was going through a terrible economic crisis, and also we were facing the dangers of local terrorism. And a lot of Peruvians flew out the country, and some of them went to Venezuela. I think the second reason is from the early 2000s, Venezuela was kind of a scarecrow for Peruvian politicians. It was, you know, the far left country, the socialist country, who was actually trying to intervene in Peruvian, and not only Peruvian, but all across the region, politics. So now Venezuela was in a deep crisis. Politicians were saying, look, this is what happened when you go full socialist. So Peruvians felt good about themselves. And the other reason, the third one, is Peru hasn't been a country who received a lot of migrants for a long time. We had migration in the early 20th century, but since then, we've been a country of migrants. We weren't in the receiving end.
And then things changed, like
right.
A lot.
In January and February this year, I started to notice that the way Peruvian media was covering Venezuelan migration was different. It wasn't anymore, you know, the celebration and the self-congratulation about how good we were because we were helping our brothers. It was different. It was about the way Peruvians and Venezuelans were colliding. You even have stories about a video where Venezuelans were saying they didn't like this or that Peruvian food, and newspapers were making news out of them. So one day, I was just checking Twitter, and I saw someone who posted this picture, which said, Venezolanos fuera del país, or we don't want more Venezuelans in Peru, Peru is only for Peruvians, or something like that.
Venezuelans had gone from being brothers to others. You are seeing the same patterns elsewhere?
Yeah, everywhere. Colombia is the country who has received the most Venezuelans. There are over 1 million Venezuelans in Colombia who has arrived in the last 2 years. The same is happening in Ecuador, Argentina, and Chile, and even Brazil. On a news show in Colombian television, there were these journalists who very early in the morning was reporting about a robbery. And he said, well, you know, the door woman said they were Venezuelans and actually they raped her.
Mucha atención porque denuncian a varios venezolanos que al parecer violaron a una mujer.
And a minute later you have a police officer
tenían un acento venezolano
saying exactly the same in front of the camera. Well, one of the producers of Radio Ambulante has her office in that same building. So later that morning when she arrived to work, she went to see the door woman. And this lady said, I didn't say they were Venezuelans, and they didn't rape me. So it was just a regular crime scene. The police turned that into an opportunity to blame Venezuelans, and media covered it and put it on national television.
It's hard to imagine somebody saying without evidence that Venezuelans are rapists and murderers.
Exactly. Who would say such a thing?
You've identified a number of tropes now, that Venezuelans are all criminals. Another, that they're ungrateful, they reject our culture. Another is that they have special privileges. There's even something about stealing husbands.
Yeah. This has been going on not only in Peru, but in Colombia and the other countries. People were complaining about how beautiful Venezuelan women were. So that was a crisis and infidelity. An actual government official in Colombia said that infidelity was rising, and that was because there were so many Venezuelans, and some of them were beautiful women.
Some of these countries have now tried to roll up the welcome mat to reverse their policies.
Right. What Peru, Chile, and other countries are doing now is asking for a passport to Venezuelans who wants to get into our countries. Until very recently, until October, actually, Venezuelans didn't need a passport to get into our country. We were accepting their ID card because to get a passport in Venezuela nowadays is impossible.
It's almost the equivalent of building a wall because you need so many dollars to get a passport.
There are some reports saying that you will pay about $1,000 in the black market in Venezuela in order to get a passport. And $1,000, no one has seen that amount of money in a long time.
The story that Radio Ambulante tells is a very familiar one. We see it playing out in Europe as well, where the Syrian refugees at first were welcomed and then regarded as a scourge and created a big right-wing backlash that is growing and growing and growing.
Unfortunately, this is just the Latin American version of what we've seen first in the States, also in Europe, all across the world. The thing that makes those stories very similar is how quickly everything changes. I was a migrant myself. I lived in Spain for 10 years, and I was very lucky because I had a good job. I was a writer, I was a journalist, I was part of a community of people who were more tolerant or curious about me and my country. But I also saw the way people in Spain treated other kind of migrants from other countries.
Yeah, you've seen this movie before.
Exactly. But, you know, to be an optimist in a way, at some point, that's an opportunity too. You know, that's an opportunity for media and for politicians to do it better the next time. Governments should be more careful the way they deal with it, and the media, of course, have to be more careful with the information they amplify.
Well, Diego, thank you very, very much.
It was my pleasure, Bob. Thank you very much.
Diego Salazar is a journalist based right now in Lima, Peru. He's also the author of We've Learned Nothing, which is a book and a journalism blog. Diego is featured in the latest episode of the Spanish language podcast Radio Ambulante on the migration issue. And you can find it wherever you get your podcasts.